Cool. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, people.
Hello.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jamie.
How's it going?
A-okay. How about you?
You know what? Pretty good.
Great.
In pandemic-adjusted terms. hi, everyone. It's so nice to have you here. Later in this episode, we're going to talk about what the future might look like.
The future.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in a time warp.
It was a radio effect.
It was super good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, we would like to welcome our new listeners. Hi, new listeners.
Hello.
How are you? Oh my gosh. If you're listening to this for the first time, first of all, what made you take a chance on this crazy podcast? What even inspired you to do that? It's wonderful. It's wild. Very mysterious thing to do.
We celebrate you.
Yes, we do. In all of your wildness. Seriously, thank you for being here. We endeavor with this podcast to bring something good into your life. That's the simple hope. So hopefully this will do that. It's a big goal, but you know, big goals are good.
We aim also, high.
Aim high, right? Hey, the universe is going to negotiate you down. So start high, right? It's like when you go into a job interview, you don't ask for the amount of money you actually want to make. You ask for like $30,000 more. So then when the person just like screws you, you end up with kind of maybe close to what you want, right? Or, you know, 78% of it if you're a woman. So...
Now I'm not doing great. Thanks. Moving on. Listeners.
Speaking of big goals, let's improve things, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
For listening, new listeners.
And new supporters. That's the other camp of people that we thank at the top of the podcast.
And we had some new supporters this week.
Yes,
we have. Thank you so much.
Every single time I get that little email that says, you have a new supporting member, it just warms my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the coolest thing. Because what it means is that you think that what we do in this world is valuable enough that you want to support it on a monthly basis with cold hard cash. And that's huge. That's a big deal.
It is huge because cold hard cash is how we pay for our housing and our food.
Yes,
and
right.
In this particular time, the Misfit Stars online community, the supporting members, are going to be sort of the main way in which we're going to weather this particular weird time that we're all living in. And
yeah.
So when we get a new supporter, it literally is like, yes, we're closer to making the goal that we need to survive this. So
yeah.
Thank you.
So if you're listening to this and you're out of context and you're like, wait, what are they talking about? Here's the deal.
There's a pandemic. No,
maybe
sorry.
You've heard. There's this pandemic that's been happening. It's a big deal right now. Because of the pandemic, Shannon and I, for the first time, like since we have met each other, will not be out on tour in the summertime.
That's so weird.
I have been on tour for at least 4 months a year since 2004. Shannon has been on tour for at least 4 months a year since 2002.
Yeah.
And 2020 is the year that ends because we can't go on tour because it's essentially like illegal right now. You know.
Well, and it's probably more importantly, it is not a practice that would encourage behavior that serves the common good in this time.
No.
We cannot gather for concerts, whether we're at a venue or in someone's house.
So bad. Gatherings, so bad. And what we do is gatherings, right?
Yeah.
And so the gatherings have been taken off the table. And they're magical, these gatherings. We typically show up in a variety of people's homes, 60, 70 people's homes across the country over the course of like a 3.5 month period. And we show up in their backyards and in their living rooms to play intimate concerts, house concerts for their communities of friends and family. And it's the most magical thing in the world. It's come to feel like an extended family reunion every summer now.
Yeah.
Because we just drive across the country. I mean, we have dear friends, like who we love dearly and whom we tell we love dearly.
Yeah.
You know, in like Pottstown, Pennsylvania, in Virginia, in Illinois, in Kansas. I mean, far flung random places, a whole new den of people in North Carolina who are just dear to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We have this magical life that we've managed to sort of curate around what we do. And we can't do it this summer, which A, is very sad because we love all of you so much and we want to see you and hug you and we can't see you and hug you right now. And B, in a more practical way, is very sad because it's 75% of our annual income.
What?
Yeah, it's a big deal. And so, long story short, we are working to replace this lost income. We have some plans afoot for a summer online house concert tour, which I think is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And we'll be telling people a bit more about that in a couple of weeks. And we're going to be doing...
Next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting. How great. It's going to be really cool. And the second thing is that we are going to be working to, instead of doing our regular album fundraiser this spring, do a sustainability fundraiser. And so what that looks like for us
and what we're going to be sustaining is us.
Yeah, seriously. we're working to generate sort of a sustainable baseline level of income. I mean, this is not like, you know, filet mignon every night, right? But like, this will be like...
only every other night.
You know, you got to economize in tough times. I just think it's a responsible thing to do. No, seriously. We're eating a lot of pasta around the house right now, but it's okay. We like pasta.
Thank
we have
God
a roof.
For rice.
Yes. We have a roof over our heads and we have starch. And with those two things, we may survive this situation. So what we're asking everyone to do is to become supporting members of the Misfit Stars community. And that's us. That's me and Shannon. So if you like who we are in the world, if you value our contribution to your life, now's the time to get involved and become a supporting member. It's really easy. You go to misfitstars.com/join and you just pick a level of monthly recurring contribution that you feel comfortable making. And really what we're asking everyone to do is find an amount that you wouldn't miss if it were disappeared from your bank account every month and just do that amount. For some people, that will be $5. For some people, that'll be 50, 20 bucks. Like there's all different levels for different, you know, different like people's situations.
We've got a bunch of new levels, in fact. And one of the new levels we have, which is already pretty popular, we call it a buck a day.
Yes.
And it's literally a dollar a day.
Yeah.
To support this podcast, to support me and Jamie in this effort to weather this time. And I want to mention also that we're going to be doing a major push for this fundraiser starting in the beginning of May. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we're going to be ceasing the thank you gifts that we normally give to people who support at certain levels. Mm-hmm. So if you were thinking about becoming a supporter and you want a Misfit Stars t-shirt, now's the time.
Time's a ticking, people.
Because we just figured that it would not be just fiscally responsible in this time of urgent need to be, you know, using people's contributions that they're making to us and turning around and like
making t-shirts,
which are, you know, they're costly to make because they're made on a one-on-one basis or one-by-one basis. Anyway, so if you want a t-shirt, they're really cute. You can still do that until the beginning of May when we launch our massive rollout of this fundraiser. So go to misfitstars.com/join and join us.
And also, people, if you're listening to this and you're already a supporting member, but you have room to support more in your budget, say that you just sort of randomly got in at $5 a long time ago and you've just been there, but you are doing well in your life, your job is stable and everything looks cool and you could do 20. Please do. This is an all-hands kind of thing. And the people who are supporting us already you guys are our biggest supporters. So if you got more room to increase your level of support, we'd be grateful for it and it would help. So thank you.
And I think that we just should close out this advertisement section of our podcast by saying thank you.
Yes.
So much to those of you who are already supporting. It's hard to describe actually how it feels to be supported in that kind of a tangible way.
Yeah.
We appreciate you so, so much.
It's very meaningful to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Cool. So other housekeeping, please, if you like this podcast, leave a glowing 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would help
because
it will get this podcast into the ear holes of people who like the things you like.
Mm-hmm.
So click the 5-star thing, type some nice words about what you love about the podcast. Probably me. I don't know. Probably Shannon, honestly. So how are we feeling this week?
Yeah, how about you? How are you feeling?
You know what? Good. I'm feeling good. And the reason I'm feeling good is because you and I have started getting really intentional about the tools that we need to use every day to get to a place of feeling good.
Yeah.
I've been really realizing that. I've been waking up pretty anxious a lot of mornings lately.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah. And like, I'll feel pretty good right when I first wake up. Like, I'll roll over and I'll see you, and that's just the best thing, as always. Every morning, people, I roll over and I realize I'm lying next to Shan. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Love her. So stoked. It's really great, you know?
But marry again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. 10 out of 10 would marry again. Yeah. But, you know, very shortly after that, what happens, because I'm an idiot, is I pick up my phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just what you and I do. Like, even if I don't want to, you've got your phone and, you know, what am I going to do? Like, just lie there, you know, or get up before you. There's other options, but they're weird and I haven't got my head around them yet.
Sure, okay.
And so what I do is I grab my phone and, of course, all the bad news of the past 9 hours is there on the front of the phone. So that's like a little, you know. And even if I don't click on it, it's just there, ticking around the back of my head. And then, you know, by the time I'm done breakfast, I have managed to at least see headlines, you know, and none of them are great right now.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of good things happening. And it's hard. It's really hard. Like, I'm not always in the morning times doing the best at sort of managing my flow of information. And even in the times when I do, when I just go off on a tangent and just look at something music related or something more fun, I still feel a bubbling anxiety in my chest.
Yeah.
Just the potential weight of what is out there that I don't know about.
I see. Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, so what you and I have been doing is we have really been spending a lot of time outdoors first thing in the day.
Yeah, honestly, what we've really been doing is declaring war on our dandelions.
You know what? Because screw you guys.
Because screw the dandelions.
It's our goddamn lawn.
We have a dandelion problem. We inherited a dandelion problem when we moved into this place. Yeah. And then we didn't really know what the heck we were doing in terms of managing it the first year we were here. And they got more out of control.
Yep.
And then we attempted a fix last year and it didn't really work. And the result is that we've got massive patches of our lawn that is just like dandelion.
That's it.
And it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And so we've taken matters into our own hands.
We are?
And yeah. We're like one by one popping these suckers out of the ground.
Personally. Yeah.
It is personal.
Yeah. It really is.
And it's super cathartic. Yeah. And it's meditative.
Yeah.
And it's in the fresh air. And thank goodness we've had beautiful sunny days here.
Spring is here this week.
And so we've been able to do the outdoor work. Yeah. And it just, the fresh air, the not listening to anything, mm-hmm. the not reading anything. Mm-hmm. We hardly talk to each other when we're out there.
It's, in a companionable way.
Exactly. Exactly. But like, it's all just really good. And it's been a good way to set the day.
And we get back inside the house and I can't speak for you, but I know that like I go out there feeling a little anxious, not quite sure how things are going to be. And I come back inside and I feel good.
Yeah.
Like I feel good right now.
I do too. Yeah. You know, last week we talked about sorting things into categories of, you know, things we have the power to change and things we don't.
Yeah.
This is definitely like a thing in my power to change is to pop those sucker dandelions, you know? And like, it's not fixing the larger problems in the world, but I do feel like I'm doing something that matters to me.
And the thing that I can control in that circumstance is I can change how I feel.
Yeah,
I have found a thing that I can do to change my mood from a not good mood into a good mood.
That's great.
And that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Like, I was looking for that for like, you know, the first 30 years of my life, but I thought it was like alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
It turns out that like, you know, going outdoors and popping some dandelions right now is that thing for me.
It's a good thing, I guess, that we have such a dandelion problem because it's going to take us weeks.
Yeah.
We're
going to have the nicest looking, I mean, it's not going to be fancy because, you know, I don't know if we're fancy yard people, but like our yard is going to be super orderly by the time this summer is done.
I mean, that's a silver lining benefit of us being home all summer is that we'll actually get to tend to our yard and house.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
And indeed, we kind of need to for our emotional well-being.
So it's working out.
It's working out.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good too. I think I'm with you. The getting outside has been really an important piece.
Yeah.
You know, just even if it's a short period of time, because we've got lots of work to do. And so, you know, the rest of my day is more happy and productive when we get some outside time too. But mostly I'm feeling okay. You know, what I've noticed this week, I feel like, so we hit a few days ago, we hit the 1 month mark since you and I have been isolating.
Yep.
It was really right after March 11th. Like the day after March 11th was the day that we're like, okay, this is serious and we need to hunker down.
Yeah.
And so it's been a month since that happened, or like a few days ago, it was a month mm-hmm. mark. And I just wonder, I feel like reaching that place, I've just in my observation of people and, you know, how people are responding to stuff, noticing in my daily conversations with my mom on the phone.
Yep, still talking to your mom every day.
Every day. You know, I've noticed a shift, I mm-hmm. think, in tone around this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's, you know, when you're driving out on the highway, when you downshift and you like set into like, okay, we're cruising now for a while mode.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the shift.
You actually upshift for that, technically. Upshift.
Okay, whatever.
But yes.
You upshift.
Yeah. You get into a cruising gear is your point.
Thank you. The point is to get into a cruising gear and we're just going to set the course for a while here. I feel like that's what's been happening this last week, sort of writ large for me and people in my life.
Yeah.
you know, like really, you know, it took a while at the beginning of all this to wrap my brain around the enormity of the situation and sort of to try to learn what experts were saying in terms of how do we get through this? What is this going to look like? You know, nobody on planet Earth has been through anything like this before. So it's all new to every
except for Beverly Cleary, who's 104.
Oh, that's true.
She has been through this.
That's true.
But she's the only one.
It's so true. So, you know, it's a new thing. So I feel like, you know, after having gotten our brains wrapped around all that, like, I feel like now we're reaching the phase of like, okay, it's not new anymore. It's not novel. I mean, it is not, it's the novel coronavirus.
No pun intended. Womp. Good coronavirus pun, baby.
Thank you. Hey, you know, I'll be here all week, all month, all year. but you know, so but the situation is not a novel thing anymore, right? There's not really a whole lot of new news to ingest every day. I've figured out that for me, it's not really necessary for me to be looking for news about this for more than reading and looking for news. I don't really do it for more than like a half an hour at a time at this point, because
anything more than that's kind of gratuitous.
It is. And so for me, like, but there's not enough new information anymore. So we're not like being fed this like, fire hose of information. It's not new.
Well, we are being fed it. We're just not choosing to put our mouth in front of it.
I see what you mean. But what I mean is that like we kind of collectively, all of us, we know now what coronavirus is. We know what COVID-19 is. We know what the symptoms are. We know like all the things that we had to get up to speed on in the first couple weeks of this. Like,
we all pretty much know.
We know that stuff now, and there's not that kind of volume of information coming at us that we need anymore, right?
Yeah.
So
at least not in our circles in our parts of the country. Because for sure there are circles and parts of the country where people are still 100% clueless.
Maybe so.
And way behind the curve.
Maybe you're absolutely right. So for me and my circle of people who've been in this for like a month, I feel like now it's like, okay, I'm not needing to learn new stuff anymore. I've got my brain sort of wrapped around this. It looks like this is going to be an extended period of time in which, you know, the other side of this is nobody knows how long it's going to be. And so it feels like there's this like upshift, I guess, but it feels like it just is settling into cruising mode. And that's an interesting place to be, because like, I think that for me, what comes along with part of that is there's a few emotions. There's the, okay, I got this. I understand what we're dealing with, at least on a day-to-day basis right now. Okay, let's push forward. There's also a bit of heaviness, of a weight to it that I feel that's like, oh, okay, so...
Because this is deeply abnormal, right? It's not like we're getting used to something that's cool and new.
Right.
It's not like we moved into a bigger house or something. It's a change, but it's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, like thinking about like, okay, we're not going to have a vaccine. They keep saying 12 to 18 months.
They keep saying 18 months.
But they've been saying that for... a month. So when do we get to start saying
so now 17.
11 to 17 months?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what I'm saying is they're not saying 17 months. Anyway,
right.
So just the, I think it's a different level of grief. And I wonder if this is going to continue to be a good metaphor for what we're all going through is a grief cycle.
Sure.
You know, like
or a trauma response.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, when people, you know, talk about dealing with grief, that there are layers of it, you know, that there's the immediate emotions that come with a loss. And that after that, there are layers that pull back and different kinds of waves that come when there are new realizations made about that loss. You know, like I feel like I'm making new realizations about the loss of what was normal.
Sure.
Before now.
And also those stages aren't linear, and some of them recur, and you ping pong around them. And sometimes you got to go through the stages five times before you're done. And it's the whole thing.
Right. Like I've noticed in talking with my mom this week that, you know, for the first month she was like, okay, we're doing isolation. And she still does have a good attitude about it, but she seemed, you know, she would make jokes about, well,
she's kind of buoyant, right?
She was buoyant. She was making jokes about, well, I'm doing the same thing today as I did yesterday, you know, just being funny. And the last couple of days I've noticed when I've asked her how she's doing, she's like, it's just a little bit more flat about it, you know, and You know, yeah. I think that we're going to be going through different stages of this, and this feels like a new one.
Yeah.
This
you know, so my experience of this, and I was talking with you a little bit about this before we hit record here, mm-hmm. But, you know, in that phase that you were talking about where it took all of us a while to get up to speed, to get our heads around where we're at with this and just what it means and what's all the new vocabulary we have to learn
right.
and what are all the new terms,
you know,
it really reminded me of the time in like, you know, November 2016 through maybe like, you know, April, May 2017, post Trump's election, you know? Mm. Now, listeners, if there's any of you who are listening to this and you were stoked when President Trump got elected, you won't relate probably as much, you know, internally or intrinsically to what I'm about to say. But maybe you'll be able to sort of empathize maybe from some different point of view. Mm. There's a lot of us for whom his election was very traumatic, right? And it's not because, you know, it's not because we're snowflakes. You know what I mean? I've been fucking homeless. Call me a snowflake, I'll punch you in the mouth. You know what I mean? It's that what his election signified was a coarseness, was a real sort of brutality among some of our fellow citizens, you know? People didn't elect him because they thought he would be a competent or good leader. People elected him because they hated the same people. He hated the same people they hated. You know, there's a meanness about it. And I think that's commonly understood. And, you know, I think that most people who support him celebrate that. So I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. I don't think I'm saying anything that you, even if you're listening and you support the guy, don't know, right? But for those of us who weren't looking for someone to rile up hate and anger, you know, in our, you know, fellow citizens, it was a pretty traumatic thing when he got elected. And I really remember, like, I really felt during that same time, like I had to do the same getting up to speed kind of process.
Right.
I've really felt an emotional parallel between this time and that time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the same feelings, that's just same persistent sensation of anxiety, that same just like fluttering in my chest, elevated heart rate all of the time,
right.
Just feeling like something really bad is going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's that thing where you've been there long enough and you've kind of gotten your arms around what the sensations are and the feelings are and the new vocab and the new ways and modes that you have to learn.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you know, you get off of that elevated anxiety
right.
place, mm-hmm. you know? You don't necessarily descend to someplace like happy and comfortable and good, but you just like you've learned it and you sort of make peace with it, you know?
Or you figure out your way in it.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
And this has really felt like that to me. And I really felt like, you know, this, I think a lot of us have been dealing with this. This has been a trauma, right? This is a worldwide trauma. And I think that we're all experiencing a collective trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
And my response very much felt like that. But like you said, it's really been shifting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the month marker is just some weird sort of, it's a significant enough of a milepost where it's like, okay, it really does feel like we're settling in, you know?
Right.
Or at least I'm used to it now,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I was gobbling like any information I could get on this for the first like, you know, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
But now, like you said, like there's not a lot of new information,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, mm-hmm. there's daily bullshit that we just have to kind of wade through and deal
right.
with, you know? The federal response continues to be a catastrophe.
Yeah.
It's going to cause problems for a lot of people we love. And that's bad. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
like we don't just have like a little family that lives within 10 miles of us like a lot of people do. We have, you and I have what feels like thousands of cousins all over the country. People we love dearly in, you know, 35 states.
Yeah.
You know, because of what we do for work. And, you know, there's people who live in areas that are run by people who don't have their best interests in mind who are really going to suffer in this time. It turns out when you elect people to high governmental positions whose point of going there is to prove that those positions don't work and that government doesn't work, what you're going to end up with is a government that doesn't work.
Right.
Right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And, you know, making government work is a dubious idea at best when the people who suffer from it invariably are the poorest and most vulnerable among us. It's a real privileged point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not poor people who are going to Washington to prove Washington doesn't work. It's rich white people,
right?
And, you know, that's, you know, it's a dubious luxury in good times. But, you know, in times like this, you know, people who are represented by people like that really are going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, because those people aren't looking to be helpful. They're looking to aggregate power and to exert power.
Right.
That's what their point of it is.
Well, I read a really interesting piece the other day, and I wish I could remember which publication it was in, but it was in one of my daily half an hour doses I allowed myself of news intake or analysis of the situation.
Yeah.
But it was the idea that, you know, Republicans, before the Trump administration, that they've been on a mission to drown government. you know? And like you were saying, it's when the watchdog isn't on the beat, then, you know, the corporations can go nuts and make more money. And the wealth inequality, income inequality we've seen exacerbated over the last 40 years is a direct result of that, you know, getting government out of the way for people who want to make gobs of money without having to follow any rules that benefit the common good. Yeah. But
at the expense of those people.
Right. So like this article was talking about like, you know, the Republicans have been on this mission to drown the government. It turns out when you drown the government, people die.
Yeah.
People get hurt.
Yeah. Because that whole cliche about like the government is us, right? Government is the things we do together. It's funny, right? Because like I genuinely believe that like at our best, that's what it can be. And I know that like, you know, my dad likes to say that exact thing, but in a snarky way. Government is the things we do together. But he only says it about like things that government's doing that's bad. You know what I mean? But like if we're all working in a good faith way to try to better things for all of us, then it really is that. Like there are some things that are too big to do on a personal, on a local, on even a statewide level. There are some things that are big enough that you have to have a whole of country response, a unified response. That's why we're not 50 separate states, right? And there's that delicate balance. Like each state has autonomy and individuality, you know, and can set its own course in a lot of ways. But there is some stuff that's just so big that like California can't do it by itself. California is huge. Can't do it by itself. Washington's pretty big. Can't do it by itself. And then you get to places like Wyoming that are tiny and they're just screwed.
Well,
they don't have a tax base of any kind. There's like eight people who live there.
Right.
And all of them live in shacks out in the woods.
I mean, the irony is that if California were its own nation state, they could fund the kind of response that would suit, that would meet the moment for Californians.
Absolutely.
But they're, but you know, Californians' tax dollars go to the federal government. And therefore, that's where we've put all of our stake in like responding to stuff like this, you know? So it's interesting. But yeah, when we don't have people who believe that our government is organized for the purpose of serving the people and have been sabotaging it, this is the situation that we end up in. And you're right. People are going to be hurt. I feel like we've gotten into the government politics side of things and we really weren't intending to go there today, but it ends up there always. It just does.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's all of this comes back to politics and we ignore that idea at our own peril, right?
Yeah.
And it's an extraordinarily privileged idea that like we can somehow discuss this stuff outside of politics because there's a fundamentally political like undergirding to every single aspect of it. And we need to touch back on that.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you. Yeah. I completely agree with you. And you know, like I've been on a mission for the last couple of years to make the word politics not a dirty word.
No.
Right? It's not. Like, people, you know, lazily refer to how all, you know, politics is bad. Politicians are all bad.
Bad politicians are bad.
Yeah, right.
But good politicians are good.
And politics is just really, it refers to the way in which we collectively decide how we're going to live together.
Yeah.
How we're going to organize our society. That's what it is.
Politics is a value-neutral word that's characterized by the people currently implementing it.
Right, right. So, you know, yes, it is important. It is, it's tied up in all of this. And I think, honestly, this experience of this pandemic gives us a unique opportunity to really examine how it is that we organize ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this has upended everything.
Yeah.
From, you know, healthcare to the way in which people earn a living to how we pay for our housing and our food and and what we consider essential work. You know, like so many things have been turned upside down and, you know, it's hard for a lot of people. It's going to be really hurtful and harmful for a lot of people, this upside downness of this time. But also there is an opportunity in here to reevaluate.
This is an inflection point. That was a masterful segue, by the way.
Was it?
Yes,
you didn't even mean to.
But you did. You set us up so nicely for the next thing that we had listed to talk about.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which is so good. Okay. Hey, I just want to check in. Do you need to go pee?
Let's take a little break.
Let's take a little break.
Okay.
All right, we'll back in a sec, people. And we're back.
we're back.
It's so nice to be here. How y'all doing, listeners? Good? Still hanging in? Yeah? All right, cool. So,
The future.
Oh, that was so trippy.
Yeah.
Very good job, sweetheart. So you and I have both been doing a lot of stuff on Facebook over the past month where we're just giving people an opportunity to check in. It seems that people really feel a need in this time to just to be seen and to help process with each other in a group kind of way what's going on, you know? And you and I have just each been posting essentially like conversation prompts for people and like people just like respond and talk with each other. And it's just like, it's group therapy in a way. And it feels really good, you know? One of them I did this week, and it was inspired by an article that you had shared with me.
Yeah.
About the idea that really like whatever you might consider the post 9/11 era, right? You know, there's inflection points like we were talking about a few minutes ago, you know, in history and society. 9/11 was obviously one. There was a time before that, and then that happened. There was a time after that. It was a post 9/11 era. And like the post 9/11 era, this person was arguing is done now.
Yeah, it was Ben Rhodes is the guy who wrote the article. It was in The Atlantic, and I really recommend reading it. It was a good piece and not very long. But you know, he started his professional career, and he worked in the Obama administration.
Yeah.
Previous to that, actually, he worked in Washington during the Bush administration as well, specifically motivated by the idea of the fallout of 9/11, in terms of counterterrorism and that kind of stuff, like really motivated to, you know, solve that world problem, you know? And he talks about how like his own life really was defined by that event when he was a young person, when that happened and how, you know, his priorities as a in his professional life, about how our priorities as a country, about how like just the way in which a lot of us in this country viewed the world after 9/11 was defined by that event.
Yeah, right.
It was everything, you know, that came from that time was you could draw a line back to September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
And the events that happened there. There was so much in our culture that was driven by that.
Yeah.
And understandably so. It was a massive event. It was a massive world-rattling event.
Yeah.
And that was 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this event that we're going through right now is similarly world rattling, maybe more so, probably more so. I mean, already in terms of like the number of lives lost as we write this today. I mean, I haven't actually looked at the latest tolls, but I know it crossed 20,000 people the other day people in the United States alone who've died from COVID-19.
Yep.
I think New York's numbers surged today because they added a bunch of people that they hadn't counted before as having been, you know, the cause of death was this disease.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just in terms of the human toll, this is way more massive than 9/11.
Yep.
And the idea that this thing that we're experiencing, this slow motion thing that we're all in the middle of. I mean, 9/11 happened in a couple of hours.
Yep.
You know, this is not a couple hours. This is going to be lasting a lot longer. But the point is that this thing that we're all experiencing right now is going to be the thing that defines so much about our world, about our country, about our culture, about how we see things and how we respond to things. Like, it's going to be the thing, the defining thing of this era.
Yeah. And so I, you know, having read that, kind of got inspired by it, you know, because the implication obviously is that if we're starting a new era, this is a time where we can really have dreams about what could define that, you know?
Sure.
And so I just put a little thing out there on Facebook. I was like, you know, so the post 9/11 era is done. And what are your dreams for what's next, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all I said. It was a really simple, short little thing. Like, you know, what are your dreams, your imaginations for what could define this time?
It's interesting because this is also the week that we've launched our new video project.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the same thing. It's the same conversation.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be putting out the first song from our new record on May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got this video project that we're doing along with it.
Yep.
That is essentially, we're asking people for submissions. And if you're listening and you haven't submitted a video yet, please consider doing that. But it's the idea of...
And there's instructions at shannoncurtis.net/dreams.
There you go. That's where you find all the instructions.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a collection of people's dreams or hopes about what the aftertime of all this will look like
yeah.
in our lives and in the world.
Yeah.
And so go do that.
Go do that, people.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, so, you know, so that thread that I posted or that I started had like 145 responses.
That's awesome.
It was wonderful. People had some wonderful ideas.
Yeah.
You know, and there were some common threads. There were definitely some things that like recurred, you know, so they're obviously just like feelings that are in the air. You know?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And I thought it might just be neat to, you know, just pull a few of those yeah. and just sort of, and just talk about them a little bit, you
I
know?
Love it.
The overarching theme seemed to be one of collectivism.
Yep.
You know,
I've
which
been
was
seeing that a lot too.
Really inspiring to me. This idea that a lot of people just intuitively in this time are having an impulse to come together and to look more for commonalities and differences, you know,
yeah.
and figure out what is the common good and how can we work together to achieve it.
How do we serve the common good?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, it was really cool. And so, you know, a lot of these things that you'll hear, these little bullet points that we'll go through now, relate to that in some way mm-hmm. to me, you know?
Yeah.
The first one, protecting and caring for the vulnerable members of our society,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you know, it shouldn't take a pandemic, like it shouldn't take a global trauma to make us realize that we need to take care of the less fortunate among us. But if that's what it takes, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll admit that, you know, it's not something that came to me like early in life. I didn't really have my finger on this pulse until probably, honestly, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something, when you're young, you don't really think in those terms, you know? Like, you kind of think, you know, in a sort of more localized way, like, how am I doing? How's my family doing? What are mm-hmm. my dreams for the future? I'm a young person. What do I want to be when I grow up, et cetera?
Right.
You know, am I going to go to school? Can I go to school? Can I not? Am I going to work? Like, just, there's just all the getting up to speed with life stuff that you think about. And I don't know, it's entirely possible that because I had a pretty privileged upbringing, you know, relatively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
There were traumas in it, but, you know, on just the very, you know, the shallow merits of it, you know, like we were not lacking financially. We didn't need anything in that way. And I had a good public school system. I just got lucky to be raised in a town that just had like a good public elementary and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I got to go to a good college and, you know, I was really privileged in those ways. And probably because of that, I had my head up my ass more than maybe the average bear
sure.
would, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't really raised with an impulse to look around me, you know, in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I came to it eventually, you know? I wish I'd come to it sooner. But I can only imagine, you know, just knowing my own experience, that probably there's a lot of people out there who never really have had to confront these sorts of things.
Sure. And I think my experience with that is, and I, along with you, I think that my eyes have been open to the idea that there are more vulnerable people among us, they're not in that position because of things they chose
yeah.
for themselves.
Yeah.
They're in that they are more vulnerable or they are marginalized because the systems under which we live have made them so,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I grew up in a,
that's important, like to really differentiate that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in a, sort of a religious subculture that focused a lot in terms of focused a lot about on things like quote unquote personal responsibility, you know, and that this idea that like
hopefully that sigh came out of the microphone.
It did, loud and clear. But this idea that, you know, I was brought up in that subculture with the understanding that if people were, say, and this is just, when I say this back, I'm horrified that I ever thought this way, mm-hmm. but here goes. But like if people were, say, homeless,
mm-hmm.
or if people were addicted to drugs,
mm-hmm.
or if they were poor,
mm-hmm.
they probably landed in those situations because they made bad decisions. And they did not make righteous decisions in their lives. This is what I was raised to believe. This is what I believed for a long time because that's what that was what was accepted in the
sure.
in the subculture in which I came up. You know,
it's just appalling. I'm just sitting over here sighing. Lots of heavy breathing on my end.
I'm appalled also.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here admitting to you that this is the way that I used to think about things.
Well, I mean, it's not your fault. You were taught to do that by somebody and you got out of it.
Okay,
so.
But it's my responsibility as an adult to confront the reality of the situation,
yep.
which is that so many of the people who are vulnerable in our society are there because the system is not set up to give them advantage. The system is set up to be a system of oppression.
Yeah, right.
For certain, you know, parts of society. Even my role as a female person, a mm-hmm. woman in that subculture growing up, it was just like, of course I was denied opportunities to lead in ways that men were given in that subculture.
Sure.
But it was justified by, well, that's just a woman's role. You know, like it was, I was...
You're more of a breeder.
Taught to accept that oppression as just, you know, what the way things are, you know, that's just how it's supposed to be. Really just internalized sexism,
you know?
So even in the ways in which, I was...
Which is really internalized power grab, if you think about it, right? Like so many of these things come back to power.
Everything comes back to power.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, yes, protecting and caring for the vulnerable members of our society, that could be a way in which we emerge from this, where we can recognize that, you know, here's an example. We're all supposed to shelter in place right now, right? Well, in most places we are. Those of us who have the ability to go out and pop dandelions in their front yard,
holy hell,
are living in an immense amount of privilege right now.
Yep.
Because there are a lot of people whose living quarters are much smaller, who
urban,
don't have
no yard,
public space, or they don't have private space in which to go be outdoors.
Yep.
So like this is not the great equalizer.
No, not at all.
There are people who are experiencing the devastation of this time in much harsher ways than others.
Yeah.
And it's not because they made bad choices.
No.
It's just this, it's the function of where they've landed in a society
in a society that fetishizes wealth and whiteness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Assist.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. You know, kind of related to this topic, especially like the prosperity gospel stuff that you were just talking about. The next bullet point I have here that came up a couple times is the idea of thinking more about what's best for community, not just me and mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, what an important perspective shift, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not this whole like personal responsibility, which necessarily leads to looking out for number one,
mm-hmm.
right? But this idea that we have a collective responsibility.
Right.
That's where our responsibility really should lie, is to
mm-hmm.
one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If we think of ourselves as being a chain, right? Like a chain of souls, like we are only as strong as our weakest link, and therefore it benefits each and every one of us to ensure that each link is as strong as possible. Every individual person mm-hmm. is doing as well as possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, this reminds me of, this is something that's further down on our list,
yeah.
but I'm going to bump it up.
Do
because
it.
One of the things that somebody had said on that, on your thread was mm-hmm. the idea of, and they were coming at it from the idea of us emerging from this with a slower pace.
Yes.
But the idea of untangling one's worth from one's work.
Yes.
I think it's related to this, like me and mine versus the collective good, because we have lived in a society that says to us, you have to work
mm-hmm.
to afford your life.
Yeah.
You know, and
which should be as big and fancy as possible.
Well, yeah, and so like the whole like incentive structure of our society has been that you have to work your butt off if you want to survive, and of course. And then you might be only barely surviving.
Yeah.
You know, so many people work their butts off
mm-hmm.
and can barely make, you know, live month to month.
Right.
But of course that rat race that we are obligated to be on to survive in a society that prioritizes work as the way that you earn your place in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, we emerge from that with an idea of looking out for ourselves because
it's
a survival mechanism.
Yeah.
You know? But here we are, a lot of us, you know, there are plenty of people who are still working and still working their butts off every day because their jobs, you know, they're either, you know, going to essential out of the house jobs.
Yeah.
Or they're, you know, working from home mm-hmm. and homeschooling their kids at the same time and, you know, and taking on more. But then there's a whole bunch of other of us who, you know, who are suddenly having a bit of a slower pace. Actually, people who are still working probably in some ways have a slower pace because it's not you can go socialize.
Yeah.
You know, so there are pauses built into our lives, you know, in ways that weren't before. Maybe this is a time to reevaluate, like, actually what's important. Is it... Mm-hmm. And maybe we can form a society that allows people to have that kind of pause.
Yeah.
And live their life not tied to keeping a schedule to earn the amount of money they need to survive another day.
Yeah.
Like, is that a way to live? Is that a way to live?
It's funny, right? Like, as soon as it gets disrupted and replaced, like, by force with something much slower, it kind of gives a lie to it, right? Because the much slower thing seems a lot better.
Yeah.
You know? There's just a feeling in the air right now that's just... It's weird, right? Because on the one side, there's the anxiety and the uncertainty, and there's all of that, and there's the financial stress. Mm-hmm. You and I are, you know, we're feeling that too, you know? Like... Mm-hmm. It's not staring us directly in the face. It's staring us in the face from 3 months away, you know?
Yep.
But honestly, every day is a million years long right now. So like 3 months away seems like just an indeterminate future that may never arrive. So for right now, like, you know, it's not imminent in the way that it is for some people, but we are feeling it. So there are those stressful feelings. But even in the midst of all those stressful feelings, there's just this sense that things just move more slowly now. And that feels so healthy. You know, it just feels like, my mind has more time in some ways, mm-hmm. in a weird way. Like, mm-hmm. and it's weird. It's like I find myself focusing in different ways and like mm-hmm. trying to set more reasonable expectations for what I can accomplish in a day. Mm-hmm. And like just the idea that we're spending an hour and a half or 2 hours outside mm-hmm. intentionally right. now, first thing each day, like that's something that you and I would not have even thought to prioritize 1 year ago.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't have entered our minds at all.
Because we had too much to do.
Yeah. Right. Turns out we have the same amount to do, but like, you know, it turns out that like, if I don't spend the extra hour on Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, feeding the panic and not mm-hmm. getting vitamin D, right? Like, you can reprioritize. Like, you still have the same number of hours in a day, but like, you can do different things with them, mm-hmm. you know? And that, and like, it took this to sort of force that realization upon me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything profound, but it feels profound to me mm-hmm. because like, I on my own did not realize it at all. Right. It was thrust upon me by this external event.
Totally get you. There's this great article, Medium article that's been going around this week about, I think it's, the title is something like
Prepare for the Great Gaslighting.
Prepare for the Great Gaslighting.
Yeah.
And the title actually threw me off. The article itself is really sort of about this notion that, yes, we're in this great pause right now. Prepare the gaslighting that they're saying to prepare for is the notion that all the, you know, that at some point all these corporation types will bombard us with advertising about getting back to normal.
Yeah, back to work, getting productive again.
And like, what if we don't?
Yeah.
What if we don't do that? What if that old normal doesn't have to be the new normal?
Imagine
that. If you haven't read the Medium article, I would highly recommend it. It was a really good sort of centering type of a piece. But
yeah, really good food for thought.
Yeah, and so speaking of the new normal not being the old normal, what were some more of the suggestions people had about?
Oh my gosh! So
the new era?
So a thing that came up a lot was the idea that what if the next time, what if this next era that we're entering could be characterized not by that rat racy, competitive, backbiting, barely surviving, fast-paced stuff, but instead by kindness, by compassion, by awareness of others, by a tolerance of change, right? As a friend so wonderfully put it, what if sincerity could replace sarcasm?
I'm all in for that.
Right? Yeah. Preach to the earnest people.
This is my time.
It's your time to shine, right? It's funny because like since I have been under your spell, I have become so much more earnest too. Like it's impossible for it not to rub off in some way, you know?
I know.
Just because, you know, my natural inclinations towards sarcasm do not always go rewarded around the home, people. Don't always get the laughs and the positive responses that I'm hoping for.
Oh
a lot of the time they just get... Like, I get met when I'm being sarcastic around the house just with, like, gentle confusion and then a redirection toward earnestness.
But it's funny.
Which has a normative effect.
But it's interesting, though, even in this time, like, when you and I go to watch, we have, like, movie night on our day off, you know, each week. When we go to look for a movie, we're not really looking for, like, the super snarky movies. We're looking for the feel-good stuff where the good guy wins.
Yep.
And
unambiguously. Like, no loose ends. Everything is tied up with a bow on it.
Because that's just what we need right now.
Yeah.
So
turns out we need Melissa McCarthy movies.
Well, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So yes. Good. And you know, another thing that kind of goes with this, another one is another person's like, what if we're entering the empathy era?
Yeah.
I would like for that to be the case, yeah. You know? I know that like when good things have come into my life, it's because I have acted and thought in an empathetic way toward and about other people, mm-hmm. You know? And when bad things have come into my life, I think it's because I was trying to look out for myself.
Mm.
You know, and I think there's a huge lesson there.
Mm.
You know, looking out for number one is not a sustainable way to move in the world.
No.
And I don't think it's sustainable for individuals, and I don't think it's sustainable for us as a society, you know?
As humankind. I mean, we're mm-hmm. seeing that played out
yeah.
on the national stage right now. We've got a president who's literally going in front of TV cameras every day to complain about how people haven't been praising him enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to be leading us through a pandemic,
yeah.
And people are dying left and right, and he hasn't said one damn word about people who have lost their lives.
No, there's
not one single word of comfort to people who have lost loved ones.
Yeah,
he's looking out for himself.
Yep,
every single fucking day.
Wow, like, Shannon says an F word on the podcast.
Know. But you know, I just like that's this the result of looking out for yourself.
Yeah,
is that. People are harmed, and you're an island who doesn't get the benefit of being part of humanity, which is beautiful,
yeah,
and amazing mm-hmm. at its best.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
and you know this ties in nicely. A total side note, there are a lot of people who are like, we need to be more aware of our effect on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hope that was expressed oh, yeah. collectively. Mm-hmm. And I just want to mention that as a side note, because the thing that you were just talking about really ties in well to the sort of last thing here, mm-hmm. which is that people were expressing the idea that what if this represents the end of politics and the beginning of public cooperation.
Mm.
And I want to spend just a little bit of time on that sort of to close out this section here. Because it's an inspiring idea that I think could use a little bit of unpacking. And it's funny timing because just this morning, we woke up. One of the good things that we saw on the phone in bed this morning is that we saw President Obama.
He spoke for like 12 glorious minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a leader that was speaking with empathy and intelligence and compassion and vision.
And a sense of possibility and optimism.
Oh,
imagine
so
that, people.
Nice.
Imagine having those qualities embodied in the person who's putatively leading us.
Yes.
Wow, so nice.
Yes.
But you know, it's funny because like this idea of the end of politics and the beginning of public cooperation, that idea that, you know, I saw a couple people mentioning in different ways in that thread,
mm-hmm.
like President Obama was talking in a certain way about that same idea.
Yeah, absolutely. He was mentioning the notion that there are leaders who are clearly interested in getting and maintaining power.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are leaders who are clearly interested in progress for people.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to tell the two apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and again, with the idea that like the word politics, you know, is not a dirty word, but what if politics were more and more defined in this new era by people who act with public cooperation in mind? You know, what if we actually used politics for progress?
Yeah.
You know,
what if we actually used our politics to work together mm-hmm. to lift people up?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Imagine.
It would be pretty great.
It would be pretty great.
Yeah.
May it be so. Actually, I saw somebody's politics related tweet yesterday.
Yeah.
And
is there any other kind of tweet that you see?
Well, there's not really not some. There's cat pictures,
yes,
cat videos.
Those
are great.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it was something that I really agreed with and I retweeted it. And my first initial like quote tweet was, may it be so. And then I'm like, by which I mean, maybe work our asses off to make it so.
Yeah, right.
Because none of it happens just because we wish it. You know,
this is
the idea. You know, we're making this new record right now.
Yeah.
And the first song is going to be coming out in a couple weeks. And the song is about the idea of bringing a hope or a dream or some way in which you imagine your life or the world to be, from bringing that internal conversation from the realm of just a vision to the realm of reality by saying it out loud. There's a power in saying something out loud, mm-hmm. you know? And so all these dreams that we have about what kind of world we might be after all of this, you know, writing them down in a Facebook comment matters.
Yeah.
Speaking them aloud to each other in conversation matters.
Yes.
It's one of the steps in making it a reality. The next step, the next right thing to do in that progression is to get your feet moving in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, it is going to be up to us mm-hmm. to make the world that we want to see.
Yep.
An important first step is to say it, but then we have to commit ourselves to getting to work.
Yep. Well, we have an amazing opportunity here.
Yeah.
We have a huge problem, a huge amount of national trauma. We're just at the beginning of it. Things are going to get much worse before they get better, but we can collectively decide what it's going to look like when it does get better, you know? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If we're not taking action to make our voices heard with our priorities for what we want this next time to look like, you can be assured that people who have very bad ideas, who think the opposite of the good ideas that you have, will be working very hard to make their ideas into what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So get your act together, people. Seriously, get active, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no one coming to save us.
And you know, have these conversations with people.
Yeah.
Have conversations with people in your life about what's important to you, what you've realized is important to you in this time, and how you would like to see things differently.
Yeah.
It's important to have those conversations. Even, you know, yeah, call your representatives, vote,
yeah.
all those, you know, like things we point to. But also just getting these conversations started among the people in your life,
yeah.
your family, your friends that you're calling because you miss them.
Talk about values.
Talk, what does this look like? You
if
know,
they're, if they're your friends, if they're your family, odds are good you have a lot of values in common. You may have fundamental disagreements if you get to the even to the level of like, what do those look like on the ground, or like, how do you put those into action? But that almost seems like too far. We need to get back to values first.
Absolutely. You know, like, what if we had millions of conversations around the world about what do you dream for the time after this?
Yeah.
What if we start having those conversations? What is that? What kind of power does that build when we start dreaming collectively like yeah. that? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, people.
All right.
Hey, thank you for spending this time with us. Thanks for the good conversation, sweetheart.
You too, honey.
Yep. So listen, people, here's the deal. Shannon and I are in a time of urgent need. And this is because our summer tour, which is where we generate about 75% of our annual income, can't happen this year because of the pandemic. Meaning that we really need to figure out how to reinvent things on the fly here. What that's going to look like in large measure for us is we are working as hard as we can to generate a broad base of support via our Misfit Stars supportive community. If you're not yet a member of that supportive community, please change that. Please become a member. It's just a recurring...
If you can.
If you can, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, definitely don't, you know? We understand that like times are hard for some people. I mean, we're right there with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're there with us, then please just stay in our community, keep listening, keep hanging out with us, keep giving us your good energy, we need it. But if you're one of the people listening who has a stable job, things are fine for you financially, please consider either becoming a supporting member with a recurring monthly contribution at misfitstars.com/join, or if you're already a member, if you're already a supporting member and have room to increase your level of support, please do that at misfitstars.com/level up. You just sign in, pick the new level you want to support at, you're good to go. It's especially a good time for people who are existing $5 members to go to 10. It's not a whole lot more, not a big difference between $5 a month and $10 a month, but right now, you still, for $10 a month, get a Misfit Stars t-shirt, which is so cute and good.
It is so cute and good. And we're not going to be doing t-shirts starting at the beginning of May. So yeah. This would be the perfect time to
You got 2 weeks, people. So if you want a t-shirt, get in. And this is for anyone, not just existing members. If you're not yet a supporting member and you want to come in at $10 a month or more, and you know, if you do that in the next 2 weeks, you get that sweet t-shirt. Just saying. So there's that. But thank you, people. You know, we don't ask 2 or 3 people to give us a huge amount of support. What we have is we have an amazing community. And if you're listening to this, you're part of that amazing community.
Yes, you are.
And we're just asking everyone in our broad, big community that we have, you know, sort of aggregated around ourselves, if you can all pitch in a little bit to our well-being, well, then we'll be okay. We will be well. you know? And thank you. It's, yeah. We don't have lofty goals here, you know? We're not saving up for a Learjet on the side or something, you know? We really just want to make sure that we continue to live indoors, where all of our music stuff is, so that we can continue to do the things that we do in the world that hopefully bring joy to your world.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And also, I want you to know that we have brainstormed a bunch of ideas of things that we can do, that we want to do in this time to create new projects that...
We're going
to
be around the house more than usual.
Yeah, but new projects that involve you, that involve our community.
Yeah.
Things that we think, we hope will be meaningful to you,
yeah,
as we all collectively weather this time together,
yeah,
emotionally.
Yep.
And so we want to, we've got some great ideas. We're going to be rolling those out when we do our big fundraiser push next month. But just know that those are coming and that, yeah, those ideas are percolating and that we can't wait to share them with you.
The function that artists serve in the world is like, we hope to, you know, and we get this from the artists who we admire also. Artists provide us a mirror through which we can reflect our own experience, you know?
Yeah.
And like the artists that we love and respect in the world help us process. They help us make sense of and provide context around what we're experiencing in our lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do in our lives for the people who we've surrounded ourselves with. You know, that's a function that we serve. So, you know, if you feel that the value that we bring to the world is adding value to your life, then please just help us continue doing that, you know? And that's it. MisfitStars.com/join. Thanks.
We really look forward to continuing to serve you in that way.
Yeah.
This time.
And, you know, in all seriousness, like the extra time that we are going to have because we're not driving around the country doing shows in people's living rooms and backyards means that we're going to have, just practically speaking, more time over this next, like, you know, 6-9 months to do that work on a day-by-day basis, you know, and think of more ways to do it. And we, like Shannon said, we have some really cool ideas about what some of those things are going to look like. Can't wait to share them with you.
Yeah.
But for now, just know that they're coming and that they need your support.
Mm-hmm.
So please go to MisfitStars.com/join or MisfitStars.com/level up and get either involved or, if you can, more involved than you are. And thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening today. Take good care of yourselves this week, and we'll be back again next week for more.
We love you guys very much.
See you soon.
Bye. See you. Bye.